All right, welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us as we come to you live this and every Sabbath this time. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting ready to go into the teaching session so we can study and look at some more of the things that God has in store for us as we look at this scripture today. For those who are listening, it is our prayer that you take copious notes. And of course, again, copious notes as we study. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it is a privilege to be able to share the good news. I don't think a lot of people look at it from that viewpoint, but it is a privilege. And so here we have the Lord. He is allowing us, go through the process where we are. Let me go ahead and just make a few changes here quickly. That this thing will come through. See, all right, here we go. And so here it is, ladies and gentlemen. We have the privilege of studying God's written word. Yes, it's a privilege that we have. Sometimes we may not look at it from that viewpoint, but it is a privilege. So you always want to keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that it is a privilege to be able to just study God's word, at least in peace. Here it is. You know, I see where President Trump is taking some activity against the folks over in Nigeria because of what they're doing to the church over there. And so you and I then have this privilege of being able to study the Bible without interruptions. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, back to my main focus series is because we are called to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is our calling. We are to proclaim the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Come here quickly. We are supposed to proclaim the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And so the point is that let's elevate it. All right. We are here to proclaim the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And so you and I have that privilege extended to us at this time. And so we shouldn't take it for granted. Now, there are seven aspects of this commission, seven main areas in which God is interacting with us in the proclamation of the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That's what gospel means good news. And so what I am trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is common practice, for example, in our society for people to go to the doctor. You know, especially if they're well off, they go to the doctor and they say, what are you going for? Well, we're going for a checkup. And the purpose of that is they go and they run certain vital tests to see how you're doing. And if there are any abnormalities, they will address those quickly before they get out of hand. So that's the idea behind it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here it is. We in the church need to adopt a similar methodology where we are supposed to do what I call a spiritual checkup. You know, the Bible says, take heed those who think they stand, lest they fall. Don't assume that you get it all together, because even the Apostle Paul, he said, I do not consider myself as having arrived. That's his viewpoint. And so he's pressing on. Well, he wrote most of the New Testament. And so my point then is that if he, the writer of most of the New Testament, is talking like that, how much more should you take, I should say, follow his example? Let me see, back up. You should, So the point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that always examine yourself. And so we are going to go through a kind of spiritual checkup today. It's going to be for several weeks. We're going to go through the series and we're going to look at several aspects of it. Today, our main focus is going to be on salvation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you find that the Lord has given himself certain names. You know, in the Middle Eastern mindset, a name reflects what you do. Now, we use some of that over here in the English, in the Western world. You know, we say a carpenter, they do carpenter work. A plumber does plumbing, and so does an electrician does electrical work, and a mechanic does mechanical work. It follows that they take a name that reflects what they do. You wonder why so many people are called smiths? Because they used to be what we'd call blacksmith in the early days. They're the ones who used to pick our shoes and stuff like that. Work with metals. The metallurgy, as they call it. But my point here is that your name reflects it. Well, that's the way it is in the Bible. And so, here it is. God has given himself these names. And, you know, for example, Jehovah Tiskinu. That's Jehovah, our Savior. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah, our Healer. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah our banner, our victory, Jehovah Shalom, that's Jehovah our peace, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you know, Jehovah Shammah, our presence, and Jehovah Roi, where he is our shepherd. Now we use these names and sometimes probably don't stop and think about the meaning behind it and how it came about, but I'm just trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is part of the way God operates. And so he uses those names. Well, it is assumed that you have covered this study. And if you haven't, I'm going to suggest that you go and look at the document called The Seven Promises of God. Or you just get there's a recording also, audio, so you can listen to it. And, you know, just bring yourself up to speed. Because today's teaching assumes that you're basically familiar with these things. But we're going to press through and go down a little further as we go in terms of salvation. Because you and I, as part of our spiritual checkup, we need to look to see where we are in our walk with the Lord. Are you really walking with him, or you just say you do? You just tell other people that you're a Christian, and unless they are a detective, they will never be able to figure you out. Because they can't see from your example. But that should not be the case. Shame on those who refuse to be a light to those who are in darkness. So what I'm saying then, ladies and gentlemen, it is vital that we perform this spiritual checkup. And the intent is for us to improve our status, improve our state. We, in other words, we want to grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3, it's covered here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where it is pointing out that we ought to grow in grace and knowledge. In fact, let me turn to it and read it verbatim, so that you get the full gist. Because I want us to, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go through. It's a lot of information I have today, so stay with me now. I'm going to move kind of, you know, rapidly. Chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things," what things? Just the way God is operating. See, you know these things. Beware. And that you're not led astray, but be steadfast in the things of God. And verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in grace. It is not an option It is a requirement. Now, you wonder why a lot of people struggle. They have nothing to show for all their supposed work and accomplishment and techniques and skills and so on. They have nothing to show for it because they're not growing in God. They're arrogant. And so they put him on the back burner. They don't take him serious. Consequently, they don't plan their life based on his word. He's make it clear, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we should live. And you have a lot of people who are taking it for granted. They just won't grow up. They refuse to apply themselves. They have this idea that they can just do things the way they want to do, and God must accept it like that. Well, he's not going to. And that's one of the reasons why so many in the church and a lot of people who are associated with the church are struggling. Because they don't show God the respect and the reverence that is needed. They don't stop to think that they need to make some adjustment. Well, I'm saying to you, the purpose of this spiritual checkup today is for you to adjust your ways and make sure you conform to the teachings of God. You know, last week's anointing is not sufficient. It's not enough to advance your cause. The anointing that you had last week no longer works today. You need to stay close, pay attention to the things of God so that you can grow and develop, because the anointing that you need, you need to be fresh every day. Too many people in the church of God are walking with an old anointing. It don't work. The disciples learned that the hard way when the man carried a little boy that was demon possessed and they couldn't deal with him. Why? Because they did not realize this kind go but by prayer and fasting. Well, why is it they didn't know? They weren't paying attention. What did Jesus say before he solved the issue? He said, how long am I going to be with you? In other words, he expected them to be able to handle it, but they, in their complacency, did not, prepare themselves. Consequently, they are not, they weren't able to fulfill the task. I am saying to you now, don't take things for granted. Apply yourself. And so here it is. We are supposed to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of things are going to move rapidly this coming year, 2026. And you know you have some nitwit who somehow believe they're going to use their, they're going to use human reasoning and somehow expect to cope. It's not going to work out. I am saying to you, things are going to move rapidly this coming year. And many people in the church of God will not be able to keep up because they think they got it together. It's time for a spiritual checkup. The Apostle Paul, you can turn to it when you have some time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I am not considering myself as having arrived. Here it is, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, end up staying in the ocean a day and a half. That same Paul prove that regardless of how anointed you are, the enemy can attack you. And so we are saying, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to be mindful of these things. And so as we do our spiritual checkup starting today, it is imperative that we look to see where we are at fault, where we may be in default, and make the necessary correction. In other words, repent. Now, it would be helpful, I'm going to suggest that you make a list of the seven promises of God. We're only going to cover one today. Jehovah Tiskinu, salvation. That is our main focus today. And so what I am saying to you, that you should make a list. Now, you don't have to. You can continue to act like you got it together and you know what you're doing. But when you are lacking, you have nobody but yourself to blame. You know, in Revelation, we're going to come to it, but it comes to mind now. Just keep coming. So I'm going to just go ahead and quote it. The Lord said, let those who are righteous be righteous still. Let those who are evil be evil still. In other words, he's just going to say, all right, that's it. I'm not going to put up your madness or your foolishness and your arrogance anymore. Time is up. And so we're heading into that period of time, and a lot of folks are not getting it. And so it is imperative again that as we go through the spiritual checkup, we look to make sure we don't fall into the category of those who think they stand when they are falling. So you make a list, ladies and gentlemen, and you examine these one by one, and you pray and ask the Lord, help me in this area. For example, you need to grow more in the understanding of the Bible and salvation. Will you pray and ask the Lord about it? Well, what about provision, things of that nature? What I am saying to you is if you need to grow in that area, you go to him again about these things. Now, we'll cover those as we come, so I guess it's going to be a 7-week study. But my point is, ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we make sure we go through these things, because this coming year, a lot of people who think they got it together are really going to be shocked. And they have nobody but themselves to blame, because the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot help. It's just that people think they get it, and so they don't want to go to him or go through the process. Consequently, they don't receive. Ask the Lord to guide you as we go through the process. You review every one of these spiritual concepts and look to see where you need assistance and ask the Lord for it. Now, Paul admonished Timothy to study to show yourself approved. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. By the way, this is almost like a review portion because we have covered this so many times before. So we won't take time to turn there, but I'm just saying, making the statement because we have a lot more that we need to cover. So he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, that you need not be ashamed. So we need to study. Don't assume that you have it together. I'm saying, take some more time and study it. Proverbs 19:2 tells you, it is not good for the soul to be without knowledge. And yet you have a lot of people who are struggling. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the understanding that they just need, basic elementary things, quite frankly, when you think about it. So here it is. What I'm saying is that we are, remember we said earlier, man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word of God. Therefore, we have to study the word of God. We weren't born with that understanding. We have to acquire it. We were born in a fallen world, and therefore, until we get regenerated by the Spirit of God, we did not have the capacity to grasp these things properly. So here he comes and equip us now so that we can retain and develop spiritual things. As he said, we are developing, what's that expression he used? Make sure I'm quoting it correctly, because he's saying that he is, we are partakers of the divine nature. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, he has equipped us now that we can become part of what he is doing and act like it. Act with that understanding, just as if Jesus was here. What would he do? What's that expression? WWJD? What would Jesus do? Well, you should be able to do just like he would, because you have the power of God operating in you just like he did. And so the point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that this now takes time, and you have to press through, but it's available. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying, no, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to press through. No, another avenue to help you develop spiritually is to listen to in-depth teaching. I cannot stress this enough. It is important that you get solid teaching, ladies and gentlemen. You missed this service? Go get the tape and listen to it. I said, if you missed the service, or anyone in the past, go back and get the tape and listen to it. Now, there are other people God may call and anoint so that they have the capacity to teach, and it is good to listen to them. Now, they may not know everything we know about doctrinally, you know, in regards to the Sabbath and holy days and so on, but there are areas in which some folks may really have a good understanding, for example, healing. And so it is imperative that we get good, solid information in our spirit. Very, very important. Now, I know Happy Harry is going to try to say, well, I got it together and my pastor teach everything. Well, you are confused, my friend. Let me show you something. In the book of Romans, the first chapter. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Here it is. The Apostle Paul is pointing out some things. And he says in verse 10, make a request. He's making request if by any means now at length or after this period of time, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So he said, pray that he can come to them. Why is it so important that Paul can come? What's the big deal about it? Look at verse 11. Listen to what he's saying. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. Are you telling me that Paul had the capacity to impart spiritual gifts? That's what he's saying right here. Now, you get a lot of church where they will never get it. No matter how much they sing and pray and talk and run their mouth, they will never get it because they will not have the people that God anoint for that purpose to come and talk to them. They make up their own stuff. As a gentleman I was talking to him this week, he said, they're making up for singing. They make it up for poems. They make it up for other things, and they find other ways other than to get the anointing over them. Consequently, they do without. And the body of Christ suffers because of that. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. Because people are not getting it. I'm saying to you, he gave some apostles, some prophets. Yes, he gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, almost everywhere you go, they agreed pastor. But it is the pastor's responsibility to make sure that the evangelist comes in and stir the people up. It is the pastor's responsibility to make sure that the prophet comes and make the proclamation over the people. It is the pastor's responsibility to make sure the people get sound teaching. And it is not happening in a lot of the churches, including the churches of God. Primarily because the leadership don't believe it. And in another case, primarily because they're ignorant. That is the situation. I'm telling you, folks, listen to what, let me read it again, because this is very, very important. Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is making a request that they pray that he may have access to come to them. That's the point he's making. You want people to come and share this information with you? Oh, yeah, you can talk all you want, but until you pray it through, it's not going to happen. And I am saying to you, when he comes, here it is, he's saying, because he longed to come with them. And there were times when he wanted to come and Satan hindered him. But we're going to have to pray this thing through till it breaks through. You remember Daniel was seeking the Lord? And angels turn up after 21 days. An angel turn up. And say, hey, from day number one, I was dispatched. And the prince of Persia was against me, and I had to call for backup so I can make a breakthrough to come to you. Now I'm here to tell you what is going to happen. Now, what had happened, ladies and gentlemen, if Daniel had stopped praying after day number 10, stopped fasting, stopped paying attention, what do you think would have happened? The angels wouldn't have the capacity to come through because they move based on what we do. Oh, yes, they're angels, that's true, but they go according to the word. And so here it is, I'm telling you again, verse 11 of Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I wanted to come and share, or I should say impart, that's the phrase he used. I want to impart unto you spiritual gifts. Well, what I'm to the pastor who say, well, you're not going to have none of that in this church. People are going to be without. Because of his ignorance and arrogance, the people are doing without. This is one of the main reasons why you see so many sick people in the church of God. Now, I'm not saying simply because you're sick that is the case or whoever it might be. Now, get me wrong. I'm just saying a lot of these things happen because those who are associated with us know we're big on healing. And so anybody who's associated with us, your healing is going to come through. You have that assurance. No, we're not going to back down. We're not going to stop. We're going to contend until the enemy get out the way and you receive from the Lord. But the Apostle Paul wanted to come to the Romans. And his goal was to impart spiritual gifts. Plain and simple. So I'm saying to you, the methodology that is applied here, or implied rather, is that you can and you should seek to receive from the Lord through the anointed people that God has, called for that purpose. And that way, ladies and gentlemen, you can receive and grow and develop. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. You can have someone who teach within 10 minutes and convey an information to you that will take you 10 years of trial and error to understand and to comprehend. But here they are, they just come and just make the statement, and you just as clear as ever, and they say, I didn't even understand this thing. There was a lady used to work with me, there's a mega church near us. And she asked a question and I answered her. I just went on about my business. And next day she said her husband wanted to talk to me. He came down there and he said, we've been struggling with this thing for years. And yeah, you just answer it just like that. So he wanted to meet me. Anyway, we just talk. You say hello and so on. My point though is that they were struggling with that issue and just didn't know it was there, and it just took a few seconds. Now, I'm saying this to say God can do things like that. And quite often he does it that way. And so when he calls somebody and anoint them to go ahead and get it done, you can say, well, I'm going to do it. Well, you keep hanging out on someone, you're going to do it by yourself. Well, you will be by yourself, but it's not going to get done because you disobey the symmetry that God had put in place. Consequently, you don't receive. A lot of this talk about unity is just talk because folks are not doing what they're supposed to do, the elementary things. Here it is, God called people and they just go ahead and blackball this, blackball that, and so they end up doing without. Anyway, I'm saying to you now, in your spiritual checkup, you need to go ahead and look through these things. Let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. In Hosea, the 4th chapter, verse 6, you can read this in your own time, but he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I'm saying to you, without proper knowledge, you can get destroyed. That's it. Without proper knowledge of how things are supposed to be, you're going to be without. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, the point is this. You need to acquire the knowledge of God. Now, you know the basic things. You go in and you study And you read, you meditate, you pray about it, you fast about it, and so on. Those are elementary things. But again, as we just pointed out, you can listen to anointed people and listen to the tape and make sure you apply it just as it is stated in the scripture. Now, it is the pastor's job to point these things out. And I pray that you're willing to listen to the pastor. And again, 1 hour, or I should say half an hour of teaching, can overcome 10 years of trial and error. Now, as we continue, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go ahead and look at some more scriptures to point out some basic things that we need to consider as we pursue our spiritual checkup, as we continue. In Leviticus, the 11th chapter, let's turn to it. Leviticus chapter 11. I want to show something here that the Lord had. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 43 says, "You shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creep, neither shall we make yourself unclean with them, and you should be defiled thereby." So in other words, don't, you know, consume that kind of stuff, don't get involved with that, and so on. But verse 44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself." Notice what he's saying now. You're going to be an example? You want to represent him? Well, you're going to have to sanctify yourself. What does sanctify mean? To set yourself apart for holy use and purpose. Sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creep upon the earth. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord that bring you up out of the land of Egypt. To be your God, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Let's translate that to modern times. I am the one that is taking you out of this world, so I am requesting, or at least commanding and demanding that you be what? Holy. Walk holy. What does that mean? Pursue a righteous lifestyle. In your spiritual checkup, we need to make sure that is our goal. Pursue holiness. In 1 Peter, did I read over this? I didn't write it down, but it's in anyway. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because that is repeated. And so I want to make sure. I'm telling you. Yes, 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it's in a 12 or 16. Let's get there. All right, let's see. Let me see. Reveal the gospel unto you. For, let me see, 16. It says, "But as he which had called you is holy," that's verse 15. "So be you holy in all manner of conversation." Here it is again. He's telling us to be holy. Verse 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." What is written? It is written where we just quoted from Leviticus 11 chapter, verse 44. So the point here again, you know that you should be pursuing holiness. All right, now Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse, 14. Is it chapter 12? Yes. And verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." A lot of people, as I was saying, wants the things of God. They will never see them because they're not pursuing holiness. It is that critical. I don't care how much they give to the church or give to the work of the Lord. They're not pursuing holiness, so they will not see the Lord. Pursue holiness and peace, without which no man shall see the Lord. Is he that serious? Oh, yes, he is. He's that serious. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, the Lord is, he's pointing out some things. And, Israel was the guinea pig again, remember? And so here it is. God is using them, to point some things out. So he started out in verse 1. He said, cry aloud and lift up your spear, not lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So he says, hey, tell them, let your light shine, in other words, so people can see. He said, they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. So here they're acting like they got it together and they're doing righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. He says, they act like they're with me. They didn't forsake God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That's how they're behaving. Why have we fasted, they're saying, verse 3, and you see not? In other words, they're not getting the result. So they're arguing with God now. They say, well, why we fasted? You don't see. You don't look at it. You don't take it into consideration. Why have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, God is answering the scene switch. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. In other words, the point is this. You went and started to do stuff your way. And that's the reason why God is not answering. And then he says, is it such a fast that I've chosen, verse 5? In other words, learn to do stuff the right way. A day for a man to afflict his soul, is that it? Is that all there is to it? Continue. Is not this the fast, verse 6, that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, in other words, abandon the false way, the fake way? Loose the bands of wickedness to undo heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Isn't that what he's talking about? That's what he really means. He's saying. And he goes on. Because if you do what he's saying, then shall light break forth as in the morning, it says in verse 8. And your health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. In other words, if you really come to him repenting, that's what he guarantees is going to happen. Verse 9 says, then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. When you turn and start repenting, he is going to answer you quickly. Verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. You ever wonder why I try to get more, you don't want to brag, but we tend to eat the best food on the Sabbath. This is where this comes from. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. So we call it a delight. That's why we always go the little extra. The holy of the Lord, honorable. So you're pointing out that God, the Sabbath, is holy. And if you say it's honorable, in other words, you behave like it, and shall honor him, not doing your own way, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Some people would never be able to talk because they don't want to talk about things of God. But he says you must be speaking not your own words, but the things of God, then shall you delight yourself on the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. In other words, he has declared it, and he says, if you learn to stop running up and down on the Sabbath, I don't care who invites you, you tell him, listen, we're going to do things God's way, and you just don't go away, but you direct the path. Now, I'm not saying we can't attend certain functions and so on. Don't get me wrong. But my point is that you're going to learn to start to control the narrative, because you have an obligation to be a light to those who are in darkness. Serious darkness is coming upon the world, and a lot of people are not getting it. And so we are the only light they are seeing, and therefore we have to make sure we conduct ourselves accordingly. And he said, if you do these things, then you're going to walk upon the high places. We mentioned earlier that you study to show yourself approved. Oh, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we touched on it a little earlier, but let's go back to it again. Chapter 3, because what we find then, chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. According to his divine power has given unto us all things. So here it is, he has made it available to us. He has given us all things, ladies and gentlemen, that pertain unto life and godliness. In other words, it's available. How? Through the word. Wherever he put you, the group he put you with, you go study. Make sure God is looking out for you. And he wants you to walk in the high places. And so what I am saying is, as we study now, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to get it clear in our spirit that God wants us to walk in the high places. But we're going to do it on his terms, not our own. And so he's saying, it comes through the knowledge of God. Now, if you're not studying his word, if you're not reading to understand, if you're not trying to dig in a little deeper to go more than where you were last week, well, how you expect him to bless that? That's zero performance. You multiply your performances, but zero by anything is zero. So whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's what they are. They are promises. I said they are promises, so they are available, but in order for you to receive it, you're going to have to walk by faith. They're not guarantees, they're promises here that we're talking about. Some places they're guarantees, in this case it's promises, that by these precious promises, you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How did the world get so corrupt through lust? The devil tempted them, and so they fall for it. We escape it because God has cleansed our, opened our eyes so we can see, and so we avoid it like the plague. Besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue unto virtue knowledge. Are you doing that? And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Are you approaching these things? Are you seeking them? If not, should. If you do these things, he says, you shall not be barren. In other words, you're going to be productive. And he says, you shall never fall. Verse 10 says, you must make your call on election. Sure, you have to do it. He won't do it for you. You have to do it. All right, let's press on a little further because, Proverbs, 27 verse 23 tells us that we should be diligent to know our state of our flock. So you're going to have to apply yourself. Proverbs 27 verse 23. Now let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen, because I want to go ahead and make sure we get some things clean in our mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you'd be surprised how the enemy can fool people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, you therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you a good soldier? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you on his team? Will endure hardness. Stand firm, in other words. And verse 4 says, no man that war entangle himself with the affairs of this life. So you don't want to get involved in the things of this life, that you may please him who had chosen you to be a soldier. You want to please the boss, so you're not going to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, it's easy to get entangled and don't even realize that's what you're doing. Romans, the 12th chapter, gives us some instructions on how we can conduct ourselves to make sure we don't get entangled with this world. Look at what it says in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. You know, this world has been trying very hard to evangelize us, to get us to conform to its system. You want to dress like him. I'm seeing a lot of people, even people in the Church of God, carried walking with their pants dropped down, the same stuff that comes from the prison. That's what they're trying to adopt. And they want to walk like it, now realize that they're adopting the prisoner lifestyle. They didn't have no belt. That's why they did that initially. People know I'm trying to make it into a style. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're going to have to study so that you get some knowledge in you, that you become renewed in the things of God. By so doing, you're going to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By renewing your mind, you will be in the process of proving what the will of God is. Why? Because he's going to bless certain things. Some things he just won't bless. The ones he bless, you know that's the way you should go. The ones he don't bless, you just don't go in that direction. Plain and simple. That you're going to have to get your mind renewed. And you have to purpose that you're going to get your mind renewed. The book of Revelation has some serious statements here. We're coming to a close. Revelation chapter 22. I want us to look at it because God is very serious about what he's doing. A lot of people don't take it that serious, but it is. 22. In verse 6, he says, and he said unto me, these things, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, no, servants are plural, the things which must shortly be done. So he's letting us know. Now, when he quickens your spirit these days, you're among the servants that he's showing these things to. How does he do that? He make you become focused on it and start to meditate on it. He's quickening your spirit. He make it come alive to you. What did he say? Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Bless is he that keep the saying of the prophecy of this book. So he's pronouncing a blessing on anyone who reads this and do what it says. The writer is saying, making a statement now, making a comment. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see that you don't do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets of, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. In other words, don't worship the angel, worship God. You know, there are people who profess to be followers of Jesus who talk about worship angels. They get it wrong. They're serving just like we are. Verse 10 says, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So the point here is this, that when you now become quickened by the Spirit of God, it is now becoming alive to you. Throughout ages, doesn't matter when, whoever, it is coming alive to that person who's reading. It is coming alive to you. So verse 11 says, he that is unjust, this is their decree that they're making. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. I say, I thought he wanted everybody to be saved. Now, there's come a point in time when God said, this is it, no more. I was talking to a gentleman one day and he was saying to me, I told him, I said, look, you know, my job is not to try to convert you. Well, I thought you were a Christian. That doesn't say it's my job to convert you. I'm just telling you what the book say. You want to argue yourself to the lake of fire? He'll just burn you up. That's all there is to it. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is feels filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Ladies and gentlemen, we were talking earlier about being holy, right? So we're going to continue along the path of holiness. You have relatives and friends who are hard-headed and don't want to listen? Well, they will just go to the lake of fire. That's all there is to it. He continues, verse 12. Behold, this is Jesus speaking again. There's a direct quotation here. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So you're all going to get paid, or so to speak. He's going to reward us based on how we perform, based on what we do, how we follow him. My reward is with me, and he's going to come and he's going to give us our reward. And elsewhere he says, I'm going to give you a crown. Verse 13 of Revelation 22 says, I am Alpha and Omega. Well, in English, we would say, I am A to Z. That's what that means. Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega, last letter. I am A to Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, it starts with me and it stops with me. Your salvation starts with me, it stops with me. In other words, I'm in everything. And so verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Let me read it again. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Because you have a lot of churches are trying to tell the people that you don't have to do the commandments. Well, I don't know what they're going to do with this verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and makes a lie. In other words, all liars. No, no, they're not going to be in it. They have to repent. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, their bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. Now, I want us to notice something. Let's go back to chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. Because there are a lot of folks who don't really understand a lot of what we're talking about, and yet they profess to be Christians. God knows. He see what is happening. And he has a plan. In Revelation 18 chapter, he says in verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Who is this fornicator? It is a certain Roman church that permeate the world and take over out of her came daughter churches in protest, call themselves Protestants. That is their lineage. All nations have drunk of the wrath of the wine, the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So the point is that she produced a certain system which we call Babylon. For those who haven't done so, there's a series online called From Babylon to Jerusalem. Please listen to it. It's a seven-part series, From Babylon to Jerusalem, because the word Babylon means it has a spiritual significance in the Bible. And here it is now. He's talking about this. This is the same Babylon system we're talking about here. And almost every nation is participating in it. So he says in verse 4, I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of Ur, my people. Now, who is he talking to? There are people that we know who just won't move away from the Babylonian system. They have friends in those groups. They have friends and relatives there, so they think they have to stay there with them. They're not paying attention. So he said, come out of her. Come out of her, he says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Are you trying to tell me that they're sinning by God? Yes, they are. They may not realize it. Oh, yes, we're serving God. Do you know what we said in Isaiah chapter 58 earlier? Yes, they notice he didn't answer them. Well, here it is now. He's saying, come out of her that you be not partakers of her sins and be not partakers of her plagues. He's going to send plagues eventually because people are not getting it. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquities. The point is this, it is real serious. Now they're going to set up a system which we know as the beast system, but it's going to get real serious as time goes on. I'm telling you, this year is going to be a fast-paced year, and a lot of people are not getting it, not understanding that is the situation. So I am saying to you, you and I, as we go through our spiritual checkup, we need to make sure now we are abreast of these things and repent where necessary. It's that simple. We're going to talk more about spiritual, you know, the spiritual checkup that we all need, myself included. I'm not leaving myself out. A lot of stuff that I want to do. A lot more things I would like to see God do among us. Have we seen some signs and wonders? Yes. Would we like to see more? Yes. We're going to pray for more. Yes. We want to accomplish more. We want more people to be blessed. We want more people to be healed. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, that we still have this obligation where we're going to have to point these things out. And so this is all a part of what we're doing. So as you continue to go through your spiritual checkup, look to see where you're at fault, where you are in default, and then repent and adjust accordingly. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the next lesson. Now,